This morning, we're looking at a parable that Jesus spoke. Brother Ray has read the parable as Jesus spoke it. And then in verse 36, after he has spoken two other parables, the Bible tells us that Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the field." So we know what this parable teaches because Jesus interpreted it. And there, this one and the first parable we studied are the two that Jesus interprets. The rest of them, he does not give the interpretation of it. So we're thankful that we don't have to puzzle over what the parable of the tares means. We know very well what it means because Jesus interpreted it to the multitudes, or rather to his disciples and not to the multitudes. In the parable of the sower, Jesus taught his disciples how men would respond to his teachings. The Bible teaches us that some would not receive it so as to be saved. Some would not respond to it so as to be fruitful. But some would receive it, respond to it, and be fruitful. In the parable of the tares, Jesus teaches them how Satan, the great counterfeiter, will place false churches in the world. We have to ask ourselves a rather startling question. Are there pseudo or false churches in the world? And as we look at what is taught by some religious institutions, we have to say there are false churches in the world. If there are false churches in the world, when did they start and how did they get started? And that also brings up other questions, such as, should true churches fellowship with false churches? And what will happen to the true churches and what will happen to the false churches? These are the questions, I think, that we can answer this morning as we study not only the parable as Jesus spoke it, but the parable as Jesus interpreted it. The parable of the tares, as spoken by Jesus, is this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. The word kingdom here has reference to the entire sphere in which God works. In this parable, according to the interpretation of Jesus, his sphere includes the world, the devil, the true churches, and false churches. The word liken means to make like or to compare. The word good means acceptable, well-fitted, but in this instance it also means clean. Clean as free from other material. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The enemy here is that which is opposite. We know the devil as the adversary of God. And in that sense, we look at the word enemy here in this parable. The enemy is the adversary of God. The word tares means weeds in grain, like darnel or bearded darnel. In this instance, it means a plant that in its form and growth is much like genuine plants such as wheat or barley. This was more than a practical joke that this adversary of this man did. It was an attempt to seriously harm the man and his servants. This bearded darnel, or tares as it's referred to here, looked like the real thing. And if it was not separated at harvest and the grains of the tares got mixed with the real wheat of the field, it would cause all of it to be very bitter, almost inedible. But if you did eat it, it would cause severe gastrointestinal problems, primarily vomiting and very severe illness. So this was not just a prank. It was aimed at harming and hurting and causing problems. In verse 26, the Bible tells us that the tares are discovered. The blade was sprung forth. The blade here has to do with the latter parts of growth. It has to do with the plant after it has become grown. The plant is close to maturity, and everything but putting on the head where the grain will be grown. The Bible calls then the fruit and brought forth fruit. The fruit here is the heading of the grain and has to do with that part which is eaten by man. But you'll notice also, then appeared the tares also. The word appear means to become apparent. To the trained eye, tares could have been seen earlier, but to the untrained eye, they didn't become apparent until the grain begins to develop. When the grain begins to develop, then the heavy grains within this whole stem begins to pull the entire head of the grain downward. But the bearded darnel never turns downward. Its seeds are light, and therefore it always remains upright. So after the plant is matured and the wheat begins to grow as far as the seed is concerned, then the difference becomes apparent. And that's what has happened in this parable. Then the servants began to question the householder. They say, "Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in the field?" Now, this doesn't mean seed in the sense of that, or good rather in the sense of that which is going to germinate and that which is going to come up and begin to grow. What it means is, hadn't all of the tare seeds been removed from the seed when we planted it? Wasn't it all clean, that is, free of any kinds of other seed? Any farmer who keeps his seed from year to year, or who buys seed, he knows that he wants clean seed. He doesn't want to sow any weeds because weeds are going to be a problem to begin with. So he wants to sow only rice or only cotton or only soybeans. He does not want other things mixed in with it. These people were the same way. So the servant said, "Weren't the seeds that we sowed, weren't they clean and free from all other kinds of seeds?" And they ask, "From whence then hath it tares?" What has happened? We sowed clean seed, but now as we begin to anticipate the harvest, we see that there are tares in the field. Then the householder answered in verse 28 by saying, "An enemy hath done this. An adversary has done this." And then more questions follow. The servant said, "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" That is, do you want us to go out into the field and to pull up the tares by their root system? Just pluck it all up and tear them out and destroy them. But the householder said, "No. Lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them." Their roots are all intertwined together. And if you go into the field and pull up the tares, the root system of the wheat is going to be so disturbed that it will not continue to draw nourishment from the earth, the moisture and nutrients, and therefore the grain will not develop. So our strategy is this: let them both grow together until the harvest. And then we will gather them together, first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but we'll gather the wheat into my barn. Now that is the parable. We'll not at this time pull out the tares and disturb the root system of the wheat. We'll let them grow together. And then when the wheat is fully developed, when it is time to harvest it, we'll send the reapers. And at that point, we will separate the tares from the wheat. We will burn the tares and we will gather the wheat into my barn. Now, that would be a puzzle if we didn't have the interpretation of Jesus to tell us exactly what he meant by this parable. In verse 36, the Bible tells us that Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." And the word declare means make this very plain. Teach us what you meant us to understand. Expose it to our mind so that we can grasp all the truths that you meant to teach us. So these truths that we gather from the parable of the tares are not the wild imaginations of some radical person. These principles that Jesus draws out of the parable of the tares are what he meant to teach. So if they offend, it is because the truth of Jesus offends and not because it is the truth of any minister. Now let's look. Here's the interpretation that Jesus gave. He said, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Who is the Son of Man? We know that the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. So the person in the parable who sowed the clean seed is Jesus Christ. It is something that Jesus did while he lived on this earth. It is something he did before he was crucified. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And what did Jesus do during his personal ministry on this earth? What thing did he do that involved a plurality of persons? I believe that he established his own personal New Testament church. Now, verse 38, the field is the world. The field is the world. Where is the field where he established his church? Now, some people say the parable of the tares are unsaved people in the church. Now, that's your interpretation, but it isn't Jesus's. Because he said the field is the world. It's not the church. And Jesus sowed or set something in the world. Now, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's not Israel as a nation, because Israel as a nation existed before Jesus ever came. They existed hundreds of years before he ever came. So he didn't establish the nation of Israel. He established something else that he calls good seed, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. Now notice, Jesus, during his lifetime on earth, prior to his crucifixion, did something. And hardly sooner than he had done something, then the enemy, the adversary, Satan, the devil, did something to imitate what Jesus did. He did something that was counterfeit, but it had the general resemblance of the very thing that Jesus did. Jesus sowed good seed in the world. The devil comes along and sows tares, our bad seed. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. And what are the tares? They are the children of the wicked one. So we have two things in the world at the time that Jesus lived. We have, first of all, the beginnings of a New Testament church and the beginnings of a false church, and they have a similarity, so that unless the servant is discriminating, he cannot tell the difference, because there is such a close resemblance. Now, who did it? Well, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. That means the end of this world system. And just prior to the thousand-year reign of Christ, when he will sit upon his throne and rule the world in righteousness. That has to be true. This is not the total melting of Gaos, this planet. It is simply the end of this world's system. Now, as Jesus continues to explain what he meant by the parable of the tares, he said the reapers are the angels. So the angels are going to come forth at the end of this age, when God sends his Son and his angels to take out of the earth those things that offend. Now, we have the word therefore. That's always important. And it means take notice. There's a truth here that's to be emphasized. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man, that's Jesus, who sowed the good seed to begin with, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. And that thing there is the word scandals. He's going to gather out stumbling blocks, things that keep people from worshiping in the true church, and getting confused and getting into a false church. The Son of Man will send forth his angels. They'll gather out of his kingdom all scandalous things that offend. The word offend means to cause to stumble or to set traps for a person. And iniquity, which is transgressors of the law, literally violators of the rules. So the Son of Man, Jesus, will send forth his angels at the end of this world system. That's the kings and the governments and the parliaments. And he'll gather out all of the scandalous things that have occurred and exist because these people who are the tares refuse to live by the rules. What'll he do with them? And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So we know what happens to the tares. We know what happens to the false churches that exist in the field, which is the world. But what about the true churches that are the products of the good seed? Notice, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. But where will the righteous shine forth as the sun? Jesus said, in the kingdom of their Father. And the only place that this could possibly be is in the millennial reign, that period of time when Jesus will be king and the world, by virtue of his power and strength, will be subject to him. So, after Jesus comes with his holy angels and plucks out of the world all of the false institutions that have carried his name and prophesied in his name and cast out devils in his name and have done many wonderful works in his name, after he has done this, the false prophets, the false churches, the false congregations are gathered up like the tares, and they're bundled and they're burned. At that time, when the tares have been plucked out and carried away, then the good seed, the descendants and inheritors and those who are the wheat of God's field are then brought forth so they can shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. This teaches me, and I believe it's the truth, that in the millennial reign, the true churches of Jesus Christ are going to be identified as such. The ones who proclaim the truth are going to be pointed out as such, and they're going to receive a prominent place in the administration of Jesus Christ in the millennial reign that will come in the future. You say, well, it doesn't make me any difference. Well, had you rather be identified with the devil and his people, or had you rather be identified with Jesus Christ and his people? But you say, Brother Penn, that's your opinion. I believe that any church that tries to do good is a New Testament church. Let me tell you something. There are people and there are churches that are doing good, but they are not New Testament churches. They are not the churches that Jesus established during his personal ministry, and as such, they are counterfeit. They are tares, and as such, they cause people to stumble. They bring a bitterness to the taste of God Almighty and to Jesus Christ, and they are congregations that do not guide themselves by the divine rule of God, which is the Word of God. We need to speak loudly and clearly. Take your Bible and study your Bible, and if the church you attend does not use this book, then it is a tare. Get out of the tare church and get into the wheat church so that at the time of the judgment of the earth, you can be a part of the kingdom of God as a shining forth rather than plucked up and carried away into that which is destroyed. It is important that you be in a New Testament church. That's what Jesus taught in this parable. I hope we can have our ears opened, as Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." That is, if you can conceive these truths, if you can rather believe these truths, if you can conceive these principles in your mind and put them together and let them say to you what they ought to say, then act upon the truths and principles that are mentioned here. It is important what you do with your life in this world.